Well, practice number one is in. Tough day. That's how it goes sometime. As much as anything, you want to get that first practice underway, which we did. Able to get a little bit of individual work in. It's not an ideal first day for us, but as I told the football team, we play Carolina. We could get a rain delay. You have to be able to go in and then come back out. So everything you do in the off season, the preseason, training camp is to get you ready for the football season. We did get a little bit of individual work in, as I said. But tomorrow's another day. We'll get back on schedule and hopefully get some better work in tomorrow. I think most of you know about Carl Nix not being able to play football anymore. It's a shame we didn't get a chance to work with him on the football field. Carl worked hard this summer to get back, and sometimes your body just won't allow you to do that. So I had a good conversation with him, but, you know, I understand the decision he had to make. But for our football team, it's an opportunity for one of the other guards to step up. Carl never had a chance. Well, we never have a chance to really put Carl into the lineup, so this is the only way we practice. So it's kind of business as usual for us. I'll take your question.
Business as usual. Who would have taken the first team left guard snaps today? Had you got?
Who would have? Yeah, Jamon Meredith, number one, and of course at the other position we've had O'Neal Cousins that's been playing at. We drafted a couple of young players too, and we have some young players just in general that will get an opportunity to prove what they can do. So that's how we will line up once we do get a chance to go some team.
When you planned out the practice schedule, was part of this in mind, having guys dealing with adversity and making adjustments on the fly?
Well, I mean, training camp in general will happen that way. I mean, you get in a game, you have a game plan, and maybe you don't expect a blitz to come at this time. You have to, you know, have another plan. You do go through adversity throughout a football game, so this is just a part of it. For me, we've dealt with it. We'll come back tomorrow. There's a lot of practices. We have plenty of time to do what we need to do.
Do you have any plans to kind of look at the schedule again and maybe rework it?
I've looked at the schedule. I've reworked the schedule. And you don't change what you've been doing based on one day. Rain happens. You know, the last time I was down here, we missed a couple of days with rain. In Chicago, we missed a couple of days with rain, but that's not going to change what we'll do. If something continues to happen and we miss a lot of them, just like in a game, you'll change it up then, but you don't change up what you believe as a reason. We put a lot of time into this practice schedule, so we're not going to change anything up right away.
What was the agenda for day one? What were you hoping to get accomplished in the full practice?
Oh, today was, you know, you just start the initial part of the installation. Start a game, first and, you know, normal downs. I mean, first, second down game plan is what we will put in the first couple of days. Without being able to get into pads, you don't want to put in an awful lot. So we'll, you know, there's a lot of review. You know, it's a long time since we've actually practiced as a team to get ready, of course, for our first padded practice.
What is that going to be, Long?
I'm sorry?
The first padded practice, when will that be?
It will be Sunday.
Were you able to get a walkthrough in or something along those lines this morning?
Got a good hour and a half walkthrough in, so we got a lot of good work in today. Of course, not as much as we'd like, but we got good work in.
How do you take advantage of the time during the break, like the hour that you weren't out there? What did you do?
Well, during the course of a game, what will you do? And that's how I talk to the team. You start preparing yourself for when you have to go back out on the football field. So it's not a whole lot. We didn't go back into meetings. I wanted the guys to be on call and ready to go back out on the football on the football field when we told them to. Which they were ready to do.
Were you happy it's with not the turnout? Were you happy with the turnout and the
yes.
fact that the fans stayed through the delay?
Very happy. You know, at first I thought it would work where we would allow some more fans to come there for our practice. But the fans have been great, and eventually they'll get a chance to see their team practice for a full, you know, allotment of time.
Bobby, it's not so much a change of culture, but is there a predictable timetable that you can say – for everybody kind of to get on board and kind of embrace what you're bringing here?
Oh, that's, as you say it, that's hard to predict that. I just know that, you know, it's about daily improvement. It's what we've talked to our football team about. We made a lot of improvement, you know, with our all-season work. But now it's about taking that, that next step. I mean, we have time, before Jacksonville, of course, to get it in. But again, everything is geared towards being ready for the Carolina Panthers when they come in here at 4:25, same time we normally practice.
Love you. Can I ask you a couple of questions about McCoy? One, if you were talking to him, would you think it's time for him to assume ownership of this defense?
For sure. And I think he has. Not I think. He has. As we started our practice, right after stretch, I let someone break down the team. And normally to start the season, I let our franchise player, the leader of our football team, do that. That's Gerald McCoy. He has taken ownership. He knows that he's the face of the franchise, and with that goes a lot of responsibility, being the first in the front of the line, which he is, standing out front, representing the team. So Gerald is already in that position.
He obviously is now a father, is a husband.
A few times over.
Do you think he's a man? Yeah. I mean, he's played here from the time he was, a young pup. Has he grown into manhood?
Well, keep in mind how long I've been around Gerald. I've been impressed with him. You know, that's hard. Probably to talk to his Ebony a little bit more. She probably let you know a little bit more about that. On how I've dealt with Gerald, of course, he's been that. And I assume that's what he is. But keep in mind, we haven't been together for a year. But everything we've asked him to do, he's been a stand-up guy. And I have confidence in our football team based on the type of leadership and type of play I feel like he'll give us.
Is there anything new with his contract?
Not that I know of. But, guys, believe me, I think you had a chance to talk with Jason. I don't get into contracts an awful lot. To me, if a player has a contract, I'm interested in him being out on the football field. Gerald has a contract. In time, good football players will all be taken care of.
You mentioned he was the front and center. He was a half hour ahead of everybody on the field, the first one out there. Is that the image? Is that what he needs to portray?
No, not portray. That's who he is. I mean, that's who he's been. As you watch their position drills, I mean, he's the first guy at the front of the line. That's Gerald McCoy. And when you're the leader, you're supposed to be the first guy out. And that's definitely him.
You've talked about the qualities Josh brings to the quarterback position, athleticism, leadership, and whatnot. How much do you think it matters that he comes in here knowing exactly where he stands heading into this camp?
Martin, I think it has to help that, the people in charge of him have confidence in him. And I can only talk as a head football coach. I know Josh McCown knows how I feel about him. I trust his leadership. We talk about Josh, it's just he's a great leader, but he's a good football player. You want your quarterback to be able to make great decisions, to know when to throw the ball, when to pull it down. We'll be doing some no huddle, different things like that. He can do all of those things. So it has to help. I think he's past that point. He realizes what not just me, all of us feel about him.
I know it's disappointing that you might have not been able to get your full practice in today, but you're not in pads tomorrow, but you will be on Sunday. And you said when you put on the pads, that's when the evaluation begins. Do you take a little solace in the fact that they weren't in pads today? And is that where you're going to find out right away on Sunday? Is that the day?
No doubt. That's why getting too upset right now, that's just not going to happen. Because what we want to do is get in position. I spend a lot of my time when you're not in pads telling the guys to pull back, stop, not too much contact. I'm kind of the contact cop out there and don't like doing that. Sunday, turning it loose then. And right now you have opinions, but you can't base your opinions. That's just to get guys on the depth chart. It's about what they do on the field. Everybody, they know they'll get an opportunity to do that, and it's right around the corner.
Was there one singular performance out there positively that you thought was
great? One more time? I'm sorry.
Was there one singular performance out there today that you thought was great?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I was watching the weather most of the time. You know, we we have a video, and that was enough video. Everything we did do today, we videoed. So that's what we as coaches will do now is watch the video and see exactly what we're able to get accomplished out there today. And again, we won't, you know, start cutting people based on the performance out there. It's just a start today.
Obviously, it's been 2 years since you were able to lead a team out onto the field.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. I know it was abbreviated today, but how hard was it just to be able to go out there and start training camp with your player?
I was doing an interview earlier today, and you know, I talked about not, you know, needing that alarm clock these last couple of days. Yeah, it's exciting to get back out on the football field. When you're away from something, you see how much you really miss it. You know, I was in Tampa this time last year, down on the beach walking in Reddington Shores, not up here, but I was in Tampa then. So it was definitely good to get back out there with the guys to start the routine. But it's been like that every step of the way. And, again, I just can't wait to take this next step with the crew. We're not going to do a whole lot of talking. You know, we'll answer the questions, but we're a 4-12 team. We have a long ways to go, and the guys will start climbing up that ladder.
The aftermath of DJ Moore being released, can you talk about what the pecking order kind of is at nickel cornerback right now?
To release a player like DJ Moore, who I have a history with, I've seen him in every situation, was tough. But we like Leonard Johnson. Danny Gore is a player that, you know, we have a couple of others that, you know, that were able to do some things when DJ went down with an injury. So we just felt like we had some good young depth at the position, and we liked them, and we had to go a different direction.
Lovie, Mike Evans missed some time with the hamstring in the OTAs. How has he come back physically, and just what have you observed about his work up to this point, how quickly he can move forward?
Well, that's why we need to get to this training camp. It's important for a guy like Mike, Rick, because he, the first couple of days when he was out on the football field, we liked everything he did. As we evaluate him at Texas A&M, we liked him a lot. And, of course, today you can see he's got good soft hands and, you know, he's got good size. I just think in time we're going to like everything that he does. But he's a rookie, got a long ways to go. That's why these practices are so important for him.
Austin Seferian Jenkins obviously missed some time with the team because he had to finish his coursework. How much ground does he have to make up
for
not being here?
A lot, because we put a lot of stock into our off-season work. You know, the weight room, of course, the meetings. And he did. He is behind, but he's been catching up. He's an intelligent man. He should be able to do it. As much as anything, we wanted to get him healthy. He's at. And I know he's just excited to get back out on the football field. He's a good target. He looks good getting off of the bus.
He dropped some weight from his college days to now. He looked 15 pounds lighter, it looks like.
That's pretty good. That's about where he – and we wanted him to do that.
College instructions.
Yeah, he did. And for talking about weight, Austin Seferian Jenkins did it, along with the rest of our ball club. We acknowledged that we were, you know, we as a football team, we needed to lose some weight. Guys did that, and they changed a lot of that, you know, that dead weight into muscle. He was one of them.
You too, Coach?
I'm sorry?
You too?
Well, I was talking about our football team.
All right. What do you mean, though?
Again, you don't, you know. I loaded a lot of boxes, but give me the end of training camp. I'll talk with you then.
Lovie, if Michael Johnson turns out to be the player that you envision him for the Bucs this fall, what impact could that have on the overall defense and the effectiveness and rushing with four men? How critical a figure is he?
It is critical, but not our ends. As we talk to our defensive ends, how we define success for them, starting off as a double-digit sack guy. We didn't bring Michael in here to just be a role player, a player that can play against the run. Those are all important things, but he needs to be able to rush the passer. He needs to be able to, you know, beat, you know, their left tackles one-on-one. In order for us to have success, our defensive line has to perform a certain way. But right now, all you can do is just work hard, and that's what Michael has been doing everything. Had a little injury there that's, you know, at the end of the all-season program, but he's a good football player. We have big plans for him.
He can make McCoy even more disruptive, right?
He should. And, of course, he can. And, of course, both of the guys can help each other quite a bit. And not just them. We need that front four to play a certain way.
Does it concern you at all that Johnson took a little bit of a step back last season, at least as far as production goes? You know, we had that double-digit sack year and then didn't quite have that type of year last year.
You know, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to what was going on last year, you know, down on the beach in Reddington Shore. You have to look at what a player – to me, I look at, you know, the ceiling. I mean, what's the best a player's played? You know, and I'm going to go to Michael's, you know, that 11 sack year I think he had. And then just not sacks too, on just what I saw on video from him. He's a legitimate outside rusher. And in our system, we feel like he's going to have a good year.
Well, you touched on the weight a little bit, guys trimming down. Is Mason Foster one of the guys you've been impressed with?
Yes.
I mean, I know – I think he was asked to play heavier last year because of the scheme, but that middle linebacker is critical to be able to get back to.
Yes, I was impressed with what he was able to do. We asked Mason to drop some weight. We don't play with big linebackers like that. We want strong linebackers, you know, that can run. Dane Fletcher, we asked Dane Fletcher to also drop some, and he was able to do that. So all of our linebackers were able to do that. I just think weight is one of the most overrated things that there is. Strength isn't. Weight is. And the lighter we are, quicker, faster we'll be.
Lovie, you said special teams should be a difference maker in the offseason. You've got quite a bit of group back there as far as kickoff return, about eight or so guys. How do you plan on evaluating them, and who do you think could step up?
The evaluation process to me is just about giving a guy an opportunity to show what he is on video. And that's why we have all the guys back there. You know, players that think they can do a certain, you know, have a certain trait or a certain type of ability that they think can help our football team, we're going to let them try it. So that's what we'll do. But it'll come obvious. It normally is, you know. We let Devin Hester get back there and return a couple, and he ran them back, you know, for touchdowns. We moved him up to the depth chart pretty quick. They'll let us know exactly what they need and who should be in every position.
Yeah, Lovie, can I ask you one last question about Gerald? If you're rating the under tackles in today's game, how high is he?
Bias opinion, of course.
Sure.
And, of course, Gary, you know what the answer is. To it. I truly believe he's as good an inside player, inside tackle, inside defensive lineman as there he is playing right now. So we're not looking to trade him for anyone. I think he can do everything we ask. He has good size, strength. He can play the run, and he's a legitimate inside rusher. On third downs, we have him out on the football field. So, again, we could talk about Gerald the rest of the time. As a football player, I think, you know, he's that prototype three technique you're looking for.
And does he compare to Sapp? Does he compare to Leroy?
And Sapp's a Hall of Famer, and I try not to compare, you know, guys, because Warren Sapp, I saw Warren Sapp at his finest, you know, in his prime. And it's a little early for that. I haven't gone through a season. I haven't gone through a padded practice with Gerald. I just know right now I like everything he's been able to do, and I think I know a little bit about football, and I'd be shocked if he's not a very good football player.
McCoy rated number 28 out of 100. Would you say higher or lower than that?
I'm sorry?
He's rated number 28 out of 100 in the top 100 players. Would you rate him higher or lower than that?
Of course, bias opinion. We love him quite a bit. He's a great player. I don't know. I think it'll become obvious where he should be after this season, though. Thank you.